بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا العبد المؤيد والرسول المسدد المصطفى الأمجد أبي القاسم المعصومين الميامين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين وعلى الذين بذلوا مهجهم دون الحسين. قال إمامنا علي بن موسى الرضا صلوات الله عليه: لا يتم عقل امرئ حتى تجتمع فيه عدة خصال: الخير منه مأمول، والشر يستكثر القليل من غيره ويستقل الكثير من نفسه. صلى
الله عليه وسلم.
My dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tonight we commemorate the Shahada of our beloved Imam, our eighth Imam, Al-Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha, salawatullahi alayhi. And in the life of our Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha, many lessons. And we will focus on some points on his life. Al-Imam salawatullahi alayh was born in Al-Madinah, and in Al-Madinah was no academic institution and was no university, but he was a genuine and he is a knowledgeable man. He was a resemble to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alayhi.
And as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam assigned them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those our imams, they have not been assigned by the messenger, they've been assigned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose their surname when say Al-Baqir or As-Sadiq, the honest, or the one who control his anger, Al-Kadhim, or Al-Ridha, the one who satisfied with Allah's decree. Those last names, surnames, they come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi doesn't talk from his own desire. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. Whatever Rasulullah say, it is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, when you focus on the Ali ibn Musa Ridha, his life, remind you about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi and his fathers and his great-grandfather and the grandfathers. All of them, they resemble Rasulullah in his mission. If any Western writer asks you or you ask him, what is the biggest achievement for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi? What is the biggest thing Rasulullah did in his life? He would answer you, the biggest achievement for Rasulullah was to establish a state and put a system for that state. Absolutely, this is wrong. Rasulullah didn't come to establish a state and put a system for that state. Rasulullah didn't care about the territory. Rasulullah came to establish a human being. Rasulullah came to focus on the mentality of this human being and to transform this human being to be the carrier of his faith, to be the carrier of his moral, to be the carrier of civilization, of the freedom of the religion of Islam. This is the goal. Rasulullah didn't come to establish a state. He didn't care about the state. He didn't say, this is my state, and that's Moses' state, and this is Jesus' state. Absolutely no. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, the biggest goal, the biggest achievement for him when he came, he focused on the mentality of the human being. He wants to establish a human being. This is the goal. The same thing with Ali ibn Musa Ridha. If you read his history and read his father's history, the same goal they come with it, to establish a human being and focus on the mentality of the human being and elevate the status of his spirit, to become an ideal person, to become a pure person. This is the main goal and the biggest achievement for Ahlul Bayt salawatullahi alayhim.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
That's why there is a difference between the soul, the spirit, and the body. The body, it is apart from the soul, not all the soul. Some people, they think the body is everything. No, the body is part of the soul, the part of the affected. But the one who is really, the one who controls it, it is the soul. Impressive one, the soul is the part. The part, the body is the part, it is affected. But the passive part, it is the soul. Al-fa'il huwa al-ruh. Amma al-mufta'al huwa al-jism. The passive is the soul, but the affected is the body. Then means that you have to take care of this spirit. You have to take care of the soul. You have to take care of this soul and pay attention more to your body. Al-Quran tell you this. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qu anfusakum. Believers, oh, protect your soul. Didn't say Al-Quran, oh, protect your body. Oh, protect your soul. Alaykum anfusakum. La yadurrukum man dhalla idha ihtadaytum. Pay attention to your soul. And the other ayah, in ahsantum, ahsantum li anfusikum. If you perform good deed, you benefit your soul. You don't benefit your body. الذين خسروا أنفسهم, those who lost wealth. I make good investment in the property or in the business, but maybe I lose my soul, I lose myself. وَمَا ظَلَمْنَاهُمْ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. We didn't oppress them, they oppressed themselves, they oppressed their soul. If someone loves himself, he shouldn't oppress himself. If he shouldn't oppress his soul, then Al-Quran telling us here to pay attention to our soul. And this is the goal of Ahlul Bayt salawatullahi alayhim. Yes, they didn't carry the sword, because the difference between them and Al-Imam Al-Husayn, Al-Imam Al-Husayn was forced by Yazid to pay allegiance to him. Yazid said to Al-Husayn, you should pay allegiance to me. Ahlul Bayt, the other governors, they nobody asked them to give allegiance to them. But does not mean they sit home. They want to build the soul of the human being, and they want to build the will, a strong will, to reject all the time the corruption, to reject all the time the deviation, because the will of the human being, if die, the human being die, the ummah will die. That's what a man goal. That's because the corruptors, they took a lesson from Al-Imam Al-Husayn. After Al-Imam Al-Husayn, no one forced Ahlul Bayt to pay allegiance, because another Karbala will happen. You know? Yes, you want to take the government, take it. But you tell the Imam to follow me, to pay allegiance to me? This is impossible. Imam will give this to a corrupter governors and to a corrupter's empire. Absolutely. Then, from here, he dedicated himself to build a human being. And you have to take care of this soul. What does mean souls? Soul means many convictions, many thought carrying in your body. Your convictions, your thought, your opinions, they call them, this is the soul. They call them, this is the spirit. Now, how can we, what we get the lesson from Al-Imam, how can we improve this soul? How can we improve it in our life? The first thing, you have to give time to your soul. As you give time to your body to feed it, you have to feed your soul. You by reciting Al-Quran, by reciting Al-Dua, by attending this majalis. We have one performing worship called Al-I'tikaf. Al-I'tikaf does mean you stay in the mosque 3 days fasting. You don't go outside of the mosque unless for some important emergency. You stay in the mosque, you recite Al-Quran, you read dua. What does mean this? That mean you don't care about the other concern. You give your soul to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You open yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people, when they recite a dua, dua ikumail, or dua tawassul, or dua, another dua al-iftitah, they pay attention how many papers left. This is not the goal. You read one page from the dua, but your heart is open to Allah better than you read whole dua and you are not open to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is better for you to read yourself. It is better to focus on yourself. This is the important part. Then the first thing, you have to find time to spend it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to build this soul. And the second thing, you have also to read your soul. Read it. Make a trip inside yourself and study yourself. Read yourself. You see this, they use it today even in our life. They use it, for example, the psychiatrist.
psychiatrist.
The psychiatrist, they use it in their office, in their clinic. If someone goes to see a psychiatrist, they give him a form. They give him a form. They ask you, if you face this problem, you are patient, 10% or 20%, put false or true. You put false or true. If you face this problem, you still obedience to Allah, or you still obeying and performing the duties of God, but false or true. They ask you, when you face happiness, your joy, 50% or 60% in this position, but false or true. What does mean this? What the psychiatrist wants to do with you? The psychiatrist wanted to study your soul, wanted to read your soul. Why he has to read my soul? Let me read my soul by myself. Let me sit with myself. I am ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the death comes to me in 1 minute, or in 2 minutes, or in 1 hour, this is possible or impossible? This is impossible. Am I ready? You have to make a trip inside yourself. The correction comes from here. To study my soul, to study myself. If my Imam Al-Hujjah ajjalallahu ta'ala farajah, Allahumma
salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad,
come and ask me for jihad, or ask me to abandon my house or my property or my wealth. Am I ready to give this to him or not? I have to study my soul. I have to read my soul. Reading my soul, it is the point of correction. It is the beginning of correction. It is the beginning point to alleviate the status of soul to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't give everything to the body, because when you give everything to the body, the soul will fall. You have to make the soul control your body, not your body control your soul. Ahlul Bayt salawatullahi alayhim, when Rasulullah used to come to them, he used to see them very hungry. Very hungry he used to see them. They shake from the hunger. They give their food to that orphan, and they give their food to that poor, and they give their food to that captive. And Al-Quran, one chapter, holy chapter, talking about them. This is the same with me. If my body tell me, give me 2 pieces of bread, and I give him 1 piece, still my body tell me, give me the other piece. But my spirit tell me, give the other piece to the poor. If I give it to the poor, I feel something different. I taught this spirit to correct. I taught this spirit to be a good with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يقول علي صلوات الله عليه الإمام علي صلوات الله عليه he said خذوا من أبدانكم فجودوا بها على أنفسكم. Take from your body and give to your spirit. Be generous with your spirit, more be generous with your body. Then the first thing Al-Imam wanted to learn from him, how to build this soul. To build this soul by connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and by studying, by reading my soul all the time. Where I am. Some people justify the mistake all the time. They justify their mistakes. Believe me, the one who justifies his mistake means I cheat myself. I don't cheat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will cheat myself. The second point from Al-Imam wants to teach us to benefit from this dunya for good for akhirah. There are one group, they came to him. Al-Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha, he used to wear the best cloth. He used to buy the best cloth. And one group, they ibn Abi Talib used to wear a rough cloth. Why you are dressing a nice cloth? Why you are dressing a beautiful cloth? Where is the asceticism? Where is the zuhud? The Imam said to them, "Az-zuhud, the asceticism, not means you don't have to own anything. You can own anything you want, but don't let that thing control you. You have to control it. On money, on houses, on castles, on cars, anything you want you can own. But don't let that things control you. You have to control your wealth. You have to control your money. You see Hadrat al-Abbas, salawatullahi ala al-Abbas, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. When he entered the river in the day of Ashura, he was inside the water. The water said to al-Abbas, drink, take from me, quench your thirst. But who controlled the water, al-Abbas or the water controlled al-Abbas? Al-Abbas controlled the water. He dropped the water from his hand. He said, my soul, how you drink and son of Rasulullah is still thirsty? This is the soul, this is the highest spirit. Then you mean in this dunya, you from this dunya, you have to achieve this dunya for the akhirah. You have to use this dunya for the akhirah. Yes, Ahlul Bayt salawatullahi alayhim, they have some hadith, some narrative hadith. They disappraise this dunya. But what kind of dunya they disappraise? Not the negative dunya, not the desire dunya, not the something to gain from this dunya or playing on it. No, they Ahlul Bayt, they like this dunya and they embrace this dunya, the active dunya. The dunya will take you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You invested for your akhirah, for the day after. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
If a human being say, may Allah uglify this dunya, the dunya will respond to him, may Allah uglify the one disobey him. Who disobey Allah, the dunya or the human being? The human being. If someone say, may Allah uglify this dunya, a dunya will respond to him, may Allah uglify the one who disobey Allah. Who disobey Allah? A dunya or the human being? And Imam Ali, he hears someone also cursing this dunya, and he said to him, you are challenging the dunya or the dunya challenge you? You are challenging the life or the life challenging you? Inna ad-dunya daru sidqin liman saddaqaha wa suq ribhan liman ittajara fiha. Ad-dunya, the life, the best house if you trust it, and the best market if you trade in it. And they ask al-Imam Muhammad al-Baqir salawatullahi alayhi, what does mean this ayah? Wala ni'ma darul muttaqin, the best houses for the righteousness. What does mean the best house? The heaven? He said, no, al-dunya. And this is true. The one who benefit from this dunya, a pious person. The one who benefit from this dunya, a righteous person. And this is what al-Imam said, the best house for us, for a pious, for a righteous, for a one is devoted, al-dunya. This culture has to move in our society. Some people, they say, what do I do with this dunya? We have Ahlul Bayt and we go to paradise. We don't have to become two groups. We win the akhirah and we lose the dunya. We have to win the dunya and win the akhirah. We cannot and this hadith, it is wrong. You hear it maybe, or you read it on the book. In the day of judgment, Allah will show the Prophet Adam all his children. All of us. Allah will show the Prophet Adam all the nations, all his children. And say, the first nation will come, say the European. Adam will see the European, they are organized, and they are high status, they live in good style. He will say, those, they are not my children, I don't know them. And the other nation, American, come, and he will see them, they are in higher technology. He will say, no, this is not my children, I don't know them. And Japanese come, and everyone carry his computer, everyone carry his phone, and Adam say, I don't know those at all, they are not my children. And the last nation come, our nation. And Adam will say, yes, this is my nation, the way I left them, I found them. It is wrong. They have no progress, they are in the same level. It is wrong, this riwayah. It is wrong, this story. Why it is wrong? Because this story contradicts with Al-Quran, and we recite in Al-Quran day and night, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. What does mean حَسَنًا? Mean a successful life. A grant us with a successful life, as you will grant us a successful life in the day after. A grant us with a successful life. قولوا لا إله إلا الله تكونوا ملوكا في دنياكم. When you say لا إله إلا الله, you will be a leader in this dunya before you will be a leader in the akhirah. You will be a successful in this dunya before you will be a successful in this in the akhirah. Then we don't have to come to groups. Al Imam salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, Imam al-Ridha, said to those people who claim Al Imam dressing nice clothes, this is not the asceticism. Al Imam said to them, Allah is pretty, Allah is gorgeous, Allah is beautiful. And he loves something beautiful. When Ali ibn Abi Talib used to live, he lived in different time. And we are in different time. We have to go according to the time. Then Al-Imam took his cloth, the one on the outside, and showed them the inside the cloth. It was very rough cloth. He said, this cloth, I dress it for Allah, but those I dress it for people. I want people to learn. I want people to use this dunya for good, to enjoy themselves in this dunya for good. This is a lesson from Al-Imam salawatullahi alayhi. The people, they don't use this dunya, they lose in the akhirah. Don't say Ahlul Bayt, we have it, and they tell us we have to focus just for the akhirah. No, we have to focus for the dunya to win the akhirah. Al-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
One day, he missed one of his companions. And he asked about him. They said to him, he is very sick. He is very sick. Rasulullah went to see him. And he was very sick, almost dying. Rasulullah asked him, what kind of dua you ask Allah every day? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I ask Allah every day, Ilahi, بِأَيِّ عُقُوبَةٍ تُرِيدُ أَن تُعَذِّبَنِي بِهَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَجِّلْ بِهَا عَلَيَّ فِي الدُّنْيَا. Any punishment you want to punish me in the akhirah, show me this punishment in this life, in this dunya. Rasulullah said to him, this is wrong. Why you ask Allah something like this? Then he said, what do I have to ask Allah? He said, you have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fi al-akhirati hasana. Make me a successful in this life. Make my ma'isha, my living is a successful. Make make my environment successful environment, make me have a good and this good, great, sustainous, reserve, good friends, make me a successful in this life, the same way you will make me a successful in the day after. Then Imam give us the hope to use this dunya for good, to use this dunya for the akhirah. And this is in the third point what Imam said. He said, our mind is not be completed. The intelligence one, his mind is not going to be completed unless he carries some characters. The intelligence one, he didn't say the one who gained knowledge. He didn't say the one who gained positions. He didn't say the one who gained wealth. Who is the one? Our mind is not be perfect mind, is not be completed unless we have some characters. Those characters, the first one, Al-khayru minhu ma'mool, wa-sharru minhu ma'mool. When people expect from you all the time peace and good things, and people they don't expect from you crime and devil things, you are the intelligent one. You are a perfect one. You are a right person. And you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in Islam 99 names. One of those names, peace, as-salam. Then Allah is the fountain of peace. Allah is the main source of the peace. That's why we've been asked to practice peace in our life. We've been asked to follow the peace. We've been asked to spread and disseminate the peace in the entire world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us. Al-Imam said, a human being, he is not going to have a perfect brain, a perfect intellect, unless people expect from him good, and people they don't expect from him bad. Some people they think when you give sadaqah, only the money is sadaqah. No. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he said, your smile in the face of your brother in Islam, in the faith, or in the others, your smile in the face of people is sadaqah. You see someone, you smile on his face. I don't become proud, it is sadaqah. It is reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you move the stone from the street, it is sadaqah. And you spread the peace around the entire world, it is sadaqah. Sadaqah not just to give money. Sadaqah, everything you do, it good for people, for the humanity. This is what Al-Imam al-Ridha salawatullahi alayhi said, the intellect of a human being, it is not reach the perfection, it is not going to be completed unless Al-Khayru minhu ma'mool. You expect good all the time from him, and you don't expect a devil or a crime or bad things from him. And the second point, Al-Imam said, يَسْتَكْثِرُ الْقَلِيلَ مِنْ غَيْرِهِ وَيَسْتَغِلُّ الْكَثِيرَ مِنْ نَفْسِهِ. This is so beautiful. Wallah, Ahlul Bayt salawatullahi alayhim, they are an inspiration, not just the Muslim, all the mankind. They are a school for all the communities. They are a school for all the people. Look to any faith you don't find in any faith. Only in the school of Ahlul Bayt, this kind of words. I swear to Allah, you don't. He said, يَسْتَكْثِرُ الْقَلِيلَ مِنْ غَيْرِهِ. If someone, I give you example, if someone bring you a gift, if you give someone gift, say you gave him a gift with $100, and now when you give him the gift of $100, you apologize to him. You said, I'm very sorry, this is not too much to you. But this is my, you know, what I can do. This is, I am very sorry. This is not too much. It is too much, $100, maybe in that country, but you think it is too small for you, for the gift for this man. Okay, now his turn to bring you a gift. If he bring you a gift with $10, how you react? How you react? It is true. Let's just think about it. You see, if you have, Imam Rida say, if you have a perfect intellect, if you have a right brain, you will tell him, MashaAllah, this is too much, brother. It is small. And يَسْتَكْثِرُ الْقَلِيلَ مِنْ غَيْرِهِ. When he give me something small, I say, my brother, this is too much, please. And when I give him too much, I say, I am sorry, this is too small for you, a gift. Who considers this? This is in the school of Ahlul Bayt. Al-Imam wanted us to stay with the soul and to criticize our soul all the time. Let me have a sharp vision about my mistake, not a sharp vision about the other people's mistakes. Let me see my mistakes first. This is how to contradict our, this is how to criticize myself. This is how to behave myself. And this is Ahlul Bayt. الخير منه مأمول والشر منه مأمول يستقل الكثير من نفسه ويستكثر القليل من غيره. How is it beautiful this? You can't find it this in any school. And the third and the fourth point, if you come to the life of Al-Imam Salawatullahi Alayh, you will see how he practiced the racial equality in Islam. Islam above racism. Islam, it is a deen, a religion of equality. You see in America, pay attention here in the United States of America, every Sunday when they go to the church, you will see the black one go to the black church. You will see the white one go to the white church. In Islam, we don't have this. A black or white, we are in the same mosque. This is how al-Islam look to the human being. Look, this is how al-Islam honor the human being. Jesus didn't approach people to have this integrated between them. Jesus didn't approach people to tell them, let black go to their own church and white go to their own church. We don't have this. Yes, different languages is okay, but different faces, different nationality, that is not acceptable in Islam. The racialism, it is not accepted in Islam. And Al-Imam approved this when he used to gather his servants and sit eat with them. One of his guests, he said to him, why you are doing this? You sit with your servant and eat. Put to them separate table. They are a servant. He said, Subhanallah, Ar-Rabbu Wahid, Wal-Abu Wahid, Wal-Ummu Wahida, Wala Yujaza Al-Insanu Illa Bi'Amalih. Our Lord is one, and our Father is one, and our Mother is one, and Allah rewarding us according to our actions. This is how Ahlul Bayt salawatullahi alayhim. And the last lesson, and there are many lessons, the time doesn't allow me to talk about this man, about this great imam. One of his lessons also, Al-Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha, he want to emphasize to this ummah, to indicate to this ummah, he is a right person to follow. When he came to Nisabur and he said, La ilaha illallah husni, faman shahid husni amina min adabi, walakin bi shartiha wa shurutiha wa ana min shurutiha. He said, people, if someone say ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, he will enter the castle of Allah. But there is a condition to enter the castle of Allah. condition. You have to come through me. You have to believe in me. You have to follow me. We are Ahlul Bayt, a right Imam. You have to follow us. Then after that, you come to see his life. Take just one part about political life. How he lived with Al-Ma'mun Al-Abbasi. When Al-Ma'mun become a governor and Al-Ma'mun Al-Abbasi, son of Harun al-Rashid, he was very smart. The smarter governor in Abbasi dynasty was Al-Ma'mun. Very smart was. He came and he took Al-Imam. He invited Al-Imam to come tomorrow to Khurasan, to put him under his vision, to put him under his control. Some people, they say, do you know why Al-Ma'mun wants to make Ali al-Ridha a governor? Because he wants to show the people how those Ahlul Bayt, they have a fake sanctity. How those Ahlul Bayt, they have a fake sacred. الهم قدسية مزيفة. Then he wants to put them in the governors on the chair so people, they will know who they are, what is their what they have in their heart, what is their reality, so people, they will turn away from them later on. Al-Ma'mun wanted to discover Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha. Ali ibn Abi Talib was the caliph that time. Why people, they didn't discover Ali ibn Abi Talib, something wrong with him? Why people didn't discover Ali ibn Abi Talib, he has a fake personality or he has a fake sanctity? Now Al-Ma'mun come to discover Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha. This is around comprehensive. Ahlul Bayt salawatullahi alayhim, even their enemy, they appraised them. Even their enemy, right, they wrote a good about them. And the books in front of us, and you could read many kind of books. No one criticized Ahlul Bayt salawatullahi alayhim with one word. This is all the books in entire world in front of you. Ahlul Bayt salawatullahi alayhim, the school of knowledge, the school of philosophy, the school of spirit, the school of science, the school of everything in the life. Then Al-Ma'mun, look how he treat Al-Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam. When he brought Al-Imam al-Ridha, he used to invite people from different sects and put Al-Imam al-Ridha next to him, and he opened a dialogue. He knows Al-Imam will win, but he wants to approve to people he loves Ahlul Bayt. He wants to approve to people he loves Ali ibn Abi Talib. Some people, they say he been raised in Shia school, in Shia environment. Some people, they say this. He gave Fadak back to Al-Imam al-Ridha. He make Al-Imam al-Ridha marry his daughter. And he make Al-Imam Muhammad al-Jawad marry also his daughter. And he wants to give the governor to Al-Imam, the government to Al-Imam al-Ridha. He did everything for Al-Imam al-Ridha to accept wilayatul ahad, the succession. Al-Imam rejected. Why did Al-Imam reject it? Al-Imam rejected because Al-Ma'mun wants to get a legitimacy from Al-Imam. So he can use the name of Al-Imam and destroy anything he wants and play with anything he wants. But Al-Imam didn't give him this legitimacy. Then he threatened Al-Imam, if you don't give me, if you don't become a successor or you become a governor, I will kill you. Al-Imam said to him, I will take it, but under one condition. I don't interfere in the government. I don't resign anybody or fire somebody or assign somebody. I don't do anything. Then he found out Al-Imam destroyed his plan. Right away he conspires how to get rid of Al-Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha. Then he thought about to poison our Imam salawatullahi alayhi. He asked Abdullah ibn Bashir, one of his entourage, one of his commanders, he asked him to make his nails long And Abdullah ibn Bashir, he said, I made my nails too long. I was shy to walk in front of people. He planned for this many months in advance. Then later on, he brought to Abdullah ibn Bashir something, they called it Indian dates. And that Indian dates was a poison. And he said to Abdullah ibn Bashir, I want you to mix it with your hand now. Mix this date for me. And Abdullah ibn Bashir said, I was mixing this date to each other, and I was feeling inside myself some conspiracy against Ahlul Bayt is going to happen. After I did this, he said, okay, don't wash your hand, come with me. Then he entered to on Al-Imam al-Ridha salawatullahi alayhi. There are many riwayat, but one of them, in this way, how he was poisoned. And Al-Ma'mun asked Al-Imam, son of Rasulullah, you've been sick since yesterday. Did any doctor come to see you? He said, no, I don't need a doctor, inshallah. I will be okay. I will be recovered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, no, Abdullah ibn Bashir, go pick Indian apple, pomegranate from this tree outside. He brought the pomegranate and he said, squeeze, dice this pomegranate with your hand to our Imam. Then he started to do it, and Al-Ma'mun took the cup of pomegranate and gave it to Al-Imam salawatullah alayhi. When Al-Imam feel this poison, his inside was cutting off, his belly was cutting off. Then Al-Ma'mun left. And Abu Salt al-Harawi came, entered on Al-Imam. He said to him, son of Rasulullah, I see your face so shabby. I see your face so yellow. What did happen? He said, لَقَدْ فَعَلُوهَا يَا أَبَا الصَّلْتِ. They poisoned me. They did it. Then Abu Salt said, I left Al-Imam. I was outside the room. I was thinking what I am going to do with Al-Imam, because Al-Imam lived by himself there, his family in Al-Madinah. That's why when you visit Al-Imam, you tell him, As-salamu alayka ya ghareeb al-ghuraba. So to be a stranger is difficult for everyone. To be a stranger and lonely is difficult for everyone. And Al-Imam was lonely over there, by himself, nobody from his family around him. And Abu Salt, he said, I was thinking, and I see a boy entered on me. A boy, son of 9 years old, 10 years old. Some of them, they say 8 years old. I asked him, how did you enter this house? He said, I am your Imam. I am Muhammad al-Jawad. I came to see my dad. I came from Al-Madinah. He said, I opened the door when the eyes of Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha fall on his son. He started. He was trying to stand, but he couldn't stand. Then his son ran to him, and he hugged his son, and he cried with his son. And Al-Imam al-Ridha, he stayed after this poison many hours, and he gave the soul to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Uhin sarat dajja abtus, innaas dhahat tilatam ala الروس صاحت وداعت الله يا شمس الشموس يا ابو محمد عفتنا بهضم وبهم. الامام الرضا عليه السلام, when he died, his son came to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the step of the son of his son so close to reach his dad, and came to him, and he did everything for his father. What do you think about Al-Husayn salawatullahi alayhi? Al-Husayn, when he was 3 days on the battle of Karbala, on the sand of Karbala, a body without head. And Al-Husayn salawatullahi alayhi, they left him, but what they left behind? They took a Zainab as a capture. They took Zainul Abidin a prisoner. This is, didn't happen to Al-Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha. Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha, no matter how great his مصيبة. But Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha didn't die and he is thirsty. Didn't die and they rape his clothes from him. This is happened where? Happened in Karbala. With Zainab, with Ahlul Bayt, salawatullah alayhim. We are now crying with Zainab for Al-Husayn. But alhamdulillah, we have a carpet sit on it. We have a food to eat it. We have a water to drink it. But when Zainab cried for Al-Husayn in Karbala, who gave her food? Who gave her a water? You know what they did to her? They slapped her on her face. They slapped her with their sticks on her shoulders. Nada bin Sa'ad Zainab طلعوها. Ibn Sa'd said, get Zainab out of the tent. And if you want to burn the heart of Zainab, show her the face of the head of her brother Hussein. حرقوا قلبها براس اخوها وان بجات بالصاد ضربوها بشي is crying, hit her with your sticks and swear on her and on her mother وشتموا الزجية وشتموا ابوها والله لنعاك لنعاك دهري والبس اسود وانا احب كل من احد جازي الحد والله اشهد مصيب الله لحد انا لله وانا اليه راجعون وسيعلم الذين ظلموا اي منقلب يمتلئون والعالم